From the Stanley P. Kazakowski Memorial Studio at WSOU, Seton Hall University, South Orange, New Jersey, welcome to Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Michelini, the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, the class of 85. Once again, my great pleasure to be your co-moderator for our show today. Millennial co-host Gina Pirro is once again with us. Great morning, Gina.
Good morning, Brother Greg.
The purpose of Thank God for Monday is to inspire you, our listeners, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope and healing and peace in these turbulent times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Alicia Keys says it perfectly in our opening song, "There's Nothing You Can't Do." As always, listeners, really up to you is how to utilize the information we provide. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. And this is why we are so pleased, as National Doctors' Day is Monday, March 30th, that Dr. Brian Lima, author of Heart to Beat, A Cardiac Surgeon's Inspiring Story of Success and Overcoming Adversity, The Heart Way, has called into our WSOU studios today. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Dr. Lima.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners from what city you're speaking today.
I am currently in Manhasset, New York on Long Island.
Ah, one of the beautiful, beautiful parts of the world. Certainly, I had the honor of doing some studying in Centerport and in Kings mm-hmm. Park, so very familiar with that Manhasset area there. Ah, quite lovely. It's amazing, Dr. Lima, we could spend hours talking about this great book and talking about you, certainly. But before we get into the gist of the conversation, which is this great book, Heart to Beat, kindly share with the listeners, Gene and I, just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'll work backwards a little bit. Right now, I'm a cardiac surgeon, and I am the director of heart transplant at North Shore University Hospital here on Long Island, part of Northwell Health. And so I helped 2 years ago launch and lead the first and only heart transplant program on Long Island.
Wow.
And so very proud of that and all of our efforts to that end. And the road to get here was windy and fortuitous, but it started in New Jersey, actually. I was born and raised in Kearny, New Jersey, not far from here. My parents were Cuban immigrants, as were my two older siblings, so I was actually the first born here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a tough you know, working class sort of existence. We scraped by, and no English was spoken at home. I didn't learn English till kindergarten, had to really scratch and claw all the way to get into college, get scholarships, then get to med school, and so on and so forth. And about 20 years worth of education and surgical training.
That's amazing.
But I learned a lot about myself, about what you can accomplish if you really just set your mind to it and put in the work and never give up. And that's kind of what led me to put this book together. So
that's absolutely awesome. You are an amazing role model of Hazards at Forward, which is the motto of Seton Hall, Advance Despite Difficulties. We are so blessed to have someone of your ilk, Dr. Lima, on the
show.
Thank
you.
And you've mentioned that you've dedicated your career to becoming a cardiac surgeon, and you even helped launch the first heart transplant program on Long Island, which is amazing. And we understand that now you've written a book, which is called Heart to Beat. So why did you choose to become an author, and why did you choose this particular book and title?
Well, I'm infatuated with the heart, you know, the physical heart. It's what I've dedicated my life's work to, my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be, I like to play on words with heart, and so I found it somewhat intellectually challenging to use heart where, you know, hard or, you know, things like that is used. That's kind of all the chapter titles. You have the word heart in them, all the sections, and, of course, the title. And Heart to Beat is a quote or derived from a quote from Babe Ruth. You know, everybody knows Babe Ruth, amazing Hall of Fame baseball player, maybe best ever. And he's the one that said that it's hard to beat a person who never gives up. And so that kind of sums up my life story and the book, essentially. So I thought Heart to Beat also brings to light specifically what I do for a living is heart surgery. And so I kind of throw that in there, too, as the backdrop for telling that story, sort of like a motivational memoir. And I felt compelled to write it because once I came up for air after finishing a decade of surgery training, and I kind of finally had some time to myself and my thoughts and kind of reflected on the journey, I felt like looking back, I never really had time to dwell on it as I was going through it, but when you look back on, you know, the path you've taken, and I was like, wow, that was really a lot, and I can't believe I did that. And I feel like other people, most people, I would say, sell themselves short. They don't think they're capable of doing things when they really are. And so I thought this book would really help anybody, really, anybody who is thinking of, you know, going after their dreams, but they just haven't mustered the courage to do so, or they're sort of in a funk, they're stalling, they're not getting where they want to get to, or they're having doubts about themselves. I think this book really speaks to all of those things. It's universally appealing. It's not just a doctor story. It's really a story for anybody who wants to succeed.
Absolutely, and I believe that this title is so appropriately named Heart to Beat, and even, I don't know if there's any listeners who ever have gotten a heart test done, but it is so humbling when you are able to really acknowledge, and even now with technology, you could see on a screen and listen to your own heartbeat. And the fact that this is something that you don't control, this is something that happens on the back end, and, you know, really God's gift. So it's such a really wonderful way to tie everything in. And when you put your heart into something, like, you're giving it your all, which you've done, we'd love for our listeners to do in their careers and in their lives and faith as well. So talking more a little bit about Heart to Beat, you share a story from when you were in eighth grade that was a turning point for you and how you approached life. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. My father specifically had really preached the importance of a hard work ethic, that trumps everything. It trumps natural talent. And so he felt like if you worked hard enough, you can succeed. And, you know, these were lessons that he was kind of laying on me at a young, young age. And they kind of sat on, in the back of my mind. I really didn't wholeheartedly subscribe to them, but then there was the eighth grade graduation where I came face to face with the consequences of what happens when you do less than your best. And here there was like a forum for celebrating and acknowledging the achievements of those who did work hard, and my best friend, another first generation immigrant, he won all the awards. He got called up the stage a bunch of times. And I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, it just dawned on me that I hadn't really tried that hard. I had kind of just coasted along, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, this is what my dad was talking about. This guy just worked harder than I did, and I felt horrible. I mean, it was just one of those feelings I never wanted to have happen again. I never wanted to feel that way again. And so I kind of, it's funny to arrive at such a epiphany at such a young age, and to this day, I think it was a defining moment of my life, because I decided, you know what, I may not get there, I may not succeed, but it'll never be because I didn't try my best. And that's kind of how things changed.
Such an important message.
No doubt about it, because throughout the book you really do a great job emphasizing the importance of hard work and perseverance. So I perceive, Dr. Lima, that you do indeed believe hard work can really beat smarts or personal connections. Am I correct in that?
You are. I think you, I've never, and as I acknowledge in Heart to Beat, I was never, whether it was high school, college, med school, and beyond, I was never the smartest person in the room. I wasn't. But I just outworked everybody. And I think you only need to have just a baseline level, I think, of intellect or skill, but the rest of it comes with just sheer work, repetition, putting in the time, stomaching and moving beyond failures and setbacks, which are inevitable, right? I mean, there's nothing worth doing that's not going to, at some point along the way, result in a setback or a failure, because, you know, I wasn't born, you know, knowing how to do heart surgery. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to do heart surgery. And you can say the same thing for anything, anybody. And along the way of that process of learning whatever that skill is or that profession, you're going to fail. And so not a lot of people do well with failure and setbacks. And I think that's another huge message, is can you move beyond that and keep grinding? That's really what sets people apart from those that don't succeed.
Ah, so well said. Thank you for that. Now, it's very interesting because you talk about the hard work, perseverance, and this got you to earn a scholarship to the Ivy League. But when you got to college, if I perceive correctly, you found yourself in an entirely different pool of people. But instead of being intimidated, you really set out to learn from them. What did you learn, and is this a takeaway, Dr. Lima, that others can use when they start new schools or even new jobs?
Absolutely. So I learned a lot. I learned that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was, because it was, the professors knew that everybody was going to memorize all the material. Mm-hmm. And so just pure regurgitation of what was mentioned in the textbook or lectures wasn't enough, because, that's why everybody was at that school. An Ivy League school, everyone could do that effortlessly. So I had to rethink completely how I prepared for exams. I had to actually, it dawned on me that I was just memorizing in high school. I was just regurgitating, pattern recognition, etc. So I actually had to go back to the drawing board and really understand and learn, okay, what's the backstory? What does this stuff really mean? Can I teach it to somebody else? Can I actually take this material and learn it in such a way, master it in such a way that I can explain it in plain words to somebody else who knows nothing about it? If you could do that, that's when you know you've really figured it out. Mm-hmm. And that means you can apply that knowledge into unique and different scenarios, which is what these exams were all about. And which is, from that moment forward, understanding that, I got better and better and did and performed better on exams. And that was just the rude awakening that many people go through when they, they excel at one level, and then because of their performance, they're promoted to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then at that next level, they have to change their game. They have to adapt. They have to rise to the occasion, right? And so that's inevitable, but it shouldn't discourage people from aspiring to those upper echelons of whatever field they're in.
Definitely. And if I could just say something, I think that's a really good message also to people who are currently in school or maybe trying to get some kind of certification, and they're looking around them and they see all of these people who just seem that they understand the material, and you're there and you feel like you have to work 10 times harder than them. Something that I heard recently that I think we should all try to live by is, competitiveness, part of that is built within us, but use your competitiveness not to compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. And if you're comparing yourself to who you were yesterday, then every day you're going to have a chance and an opportunity and a fire to grow even more tomorrow. And you do not have to compare yourself to the levels that everyone else is at.
I can't agree more with that, because, in college, for instance, all of a sudden I was, my high school, there's nothing wrong with my high school, but I didn't go to college with any AP credits at all, none. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was surrounded by students who had gone to elite academies that, with fancy names, mm-hmm. that were probably more expensive than college, and they had, 20 credits, AP credits, and they were placed out of this and placed out of that, mm-hmm. and all these things, and I remember feeling intimidated for a moment there, and like you said, you can't compare yourself to other people. All you can do is control what you do and how you do it. That's all you have control over. And it's just another thing I stress in the book. You'll drive yourself crazy if you worry about what other people are doing or how you measure up to them. You only can control what you can control, and that's how you respond to the challenge and what effort you put in. Nothing else.
Ah, that's great advice and inspiring for all of us, no doubt about that. Listeners, for anyone who's just tuned in, welcome to Thank God for Monday. We're the weekly talk show about the workplace here on WSOU 89.5 FM, locally streamed around the world at www.wsou.net. I'm Brother Greg from the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, class of 85. Millennial co-host Gina Pirro is with us. We've got a very, very special guest, as coming at the end of this month of March is National Doctors Day on Monday, March 30th. His name is Dr. Brian Lima. He is the author of Heart to Beat, A Cardiac Surgeon's Inspiring Story of Success in Overcoming Adversity, The Heart Way, calling in from beautiful Manhasset, New York. And we've been talking about the book and talking about his inspiring story, and we've got some more questions to continue forward here.
And Dr. Lima, we know that definitely in this career field, being a cardiac surgeon, there is so much schooling, so much education that goes into it. And your years in surgical residency seem that they were grueling at times. So could you share with our listeners how you got through them and what insights they could learn from?
Sure. I think when the decision for me to pursue cardiac surgery was a decision that just, there was no doubt about it whatsoever. I knew that I couldn't imagine a future not being or doing that. So with that in mind, to me, it was all just part of the process of the journey to get to that goal that I had. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that means that for anyone out there, the key thing is finding what you're passionate about and pursuing it just with all your heart, and not doing things or pursuing things for the wrong reasons, i.e. for just purely financial reasons. Mm-hmm. It's really gotta, in my opinion, I think for something to be worth years of effort and schooling, etc., it's got to be more than just about you. It's got to be about making either the world around you and your immediate surroundings, or the world is, you know, more globally speaking, a better place, leaving the world better than when you came into it. And that's what motivated me and pushed me. I think if you have those key elements in place, then, you know, the prolonged sleep deprivation that I went through, I describe, it's a funny analogy, I describe the decade of training as running a marathon at a sprinter's pace while simultaneously drinking out of a fire hose. And that's what it felt like. It was exhilarating at the same time, though. It was intense, but it's so strange. You know, you wake up one day and all of a sudden, wow, I could do surgery. I actually could do this. And it's really an indescribable feeling of accomplishment and satisfaction when you went from not even being able to hold a needle stitch in your hand or instrument in your hand, and now you're doing things and saving people. It's so worth it. I would not change a thing. And I just really hope that other people look for that passion in their life and pursue it with the same degree of intensity.
That is so important. And one of the lessons, one of the many lessons that you share in Heart to Beat is no regrets allowed. It's hard not to, to get stuck on our mistakes, right? But how can we avoid second-guessing ourselves when we make mistakes?
It's another process. It comes with repetition. It's not letting yourself, having the mental discipline to look inside yourself and figure out, okay, what am I upset about? Why is this upsetting me? And breaking that down. And I've been able to do that with years and years of repetition and effort. It's not easy. And I've by no stretch of the imagination figured it out. Of course, when things go wrong, things don't go the way you want them to. It's totally normal and human to feel regret, to feel disappointment. It just takes a lot of discipline and repetition, and it may even take help from a professional. There's absolutely nothing wrong with getting help from a psychologist or something like someone that can help you process that, process your thoughts, and help you move beyond regret and focus on the here and now. Because at the end of the day, that's all. The past is the past. The sooner you embrace that idea that you can't do anything about what happened, but you can definitely do something about how you respond to it and how you act in the present.
Wow, that is really powerful and meaningful, and I'm so glad that you're sharing this with our listeners as well.
Thank you.
Now, you emphasize in your book the importance of building a personal brand. Could you tell us what this means and why it's helpful?
Sure. I was naive that whole time that I was training. I had no idea about being an entrepreneur or how you promote yourself or advertise or build relationships with colleagues in your field, and that working relationship to build what eventually is your business, right? And I was so focused on just the technical aspect of learning surgery, I just had this naive assumption that I'd arrive on my first day finishing training to my first job, and that everything would be all lined up. Mm-hmm. I'd have patients lined, waiting in line around the corner, and I'd have my operating schedule would be full, but it wasn't like that at all. And so I had to learn the hard way, right, that you have to promote yourself. You have to, in whatever business you're in, people aren't going to be interested in your services or your product unless they know that it's a good product or are aware of it. And so that's really what I was referring to when I was describing building your brand. And that takes a lot of effort. It doesn't come naturally to everybody. It certainly didn't come naturally to me. I always, was a big, proponent of, oh, well, your work should speak for itself. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in, right? Look at the Super Bowl and Super Bowl commercials. I mean, even the most successful companies that have age-old products that are household names, they still spend millions and millions or billions of dollars every year in advertising to keep that brand name fresh in everybody's mind. And I think that's the message that I didn't learn until well into my 30s when I was in the real world, so to speak.
Wow.
Now, it's very easy, Dr. Lehman, to become complacent when things are going well or when you attain a hard-fought goal. But you say in the book that complacency is your biggest adversary.
Yes.
How can Gina and I and our listeners, how can we avoid becoming complacent, please?
Well, I think part of it, like the, how to not, regret your mistakes or regret mishaps or setbacks, this also comes with time and discipline and repetition.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world has a way, I found, especially, that when you think you've really got things figured out and you've hit your stride and you kind of, okay, now I can, kick my feet up and this is good. And the world has a way of just showing you, nope, you're absolutely wrong. You kind of have to stay on your toes.
Right.
And so sometimes the world will remind you of that. In fact, I would say 99 times out of 100, the world will definitely, give you that slice of humble pie and say, not so fast, my friend. You always have to be improving. We're never finished products. Self-improvement is a lifelong endeavor. There is no end. We should all be spending our lives becoming better and figuring things out, learning more, expanding our repertoire of interests and skills. And so it's just one of those things that you should adopt wholeheartedly, and just with time, it will come naturally, where you just won't let complacency in the door.
Absolutely.
Now, in conjunction with this, one of the things you write that I especially love, ambition has been one of the most important forces in your life. But on the flip side, being ambitious can really get a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, Dr. Lima, please help us out? What does ambition look like? How do you define
it? I look at ambition as the way I describe it in the book. I refer to turbo boost. This it's a force of motivation that can get you to that hard-fought destination you want to arrive at. And it does get a bad name because people immediately think sort of a Machiavellian type of ambition, or where you're mm-hmm. becoming successful at the expense of others, right? You're stepping on people to get to the top, so to speak, or you're not being true to yourself, or you're taking shortcuts. And I don't view ambition as that way when used in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
What that source of motivation is going to be different for different people. And I talk about how you have to figure out what those buttons are. What is that memory or source of inspiration that can, in your darkest, bleakest moments, power you through? And for me, it's God first and foremost. It's also the memory of my parents and all they mm-hmm. Did and sacrificed for me. I feel like that all can't be in vain, right? And so that's my source of ambition, to just keep, even when I think, I've failed or I don't see how I can possibly go on, I muster the strength to do it, and that's how I use ambition.
One of the things especially that was so touching about your book, Dr. Lima, the dedication to your amazing parents, Apollonino and Ramona, if I'm saying mm-hmm. their dad's name correctly, who selflessly and courageously fled Cuba in 1968 and for all the hope of a better life for their family. This is really a very, very moving dedication. And I can sense, and I'm sure Gene and the listeners can as well, exactly the role they've played in your amazing life.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Of course. And unfortunately, Dr. Lima, we only have a couple minutes left, but we do have two final questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you devote the final chapter of your book, Heart to Beat, to heart health, naturally.
Yes.
So what role does fitness play in career success, in your opinion?
I think we have to have mental and physical balance. I think when you have fitness as a regularly, aspect of your day-to-day life, your overall health is improved. You're rested. You have more confidence. It's all our bodies and our minds are intermingled and intertwined on so many levels. And I think mental well-being is completely linked to physical well-being, and you attain both by adhering to a good fitness regimen. So that's why it's critical to have that as part of all of our lives.
Absolutely. And I think the temptation that many of us are facing are when we're so busy and we're stressed, what do we do? We go towards food,
yes.
But that's not the answer. It's really not. And you've shown how important that is.
Definitely. Definitely. You have to just make it something that's part of your routine. I don't think I'm going to brush my teeth today. I did yesterday. I gotta be out the door. I'm running late for work. You just brush your teeth. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You just do it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where fitness has to fall in all of our lives. It's just one of those things that's non-negotiable. You just do it. It's like brushing your teeth and taking a shower. So.
And finally, from where can our loyal listeners purchase Heart to Beat, and how can they best contact you for more information?
Sure. So it's Heart to Beat is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or where any other books are sold. And my website is www.brianlimamd.com, and that'll have information about me and information about the book. So that's probably the best place to look.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lima. And for our listeners, again, I just want to spell out, it's Brian Lima, L-I-M-A. So please look him up and search his book, Heart to Beat, which you will definitely be able to extract important lessons from, even more than we've had the short 30 minutes to speak about today. And after you have looked up Dr. Lima's book, also please follow our Thank God for Monday social media, where you can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Gina, thank you very much. And Dr. Lima, I want to echo Gina's Franciscan gratitude for a wonderful interview, taking time out to be with us today. All this incredible ambition, all this incredible contribution you're making to the world, and being a real role model of Hazards at Forward. Advance despite difficulty, and we wish you nothing but continued joy, contribution, and success in this incredible life of yours as this wonderful surgeon. And enjoy, certainly, very much National Doctors Day on March 30th. You deserve it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, both of you, so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Listeners, sadly, once again, we're out of time. Gene and Brother Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Dr. Lima does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. For some final blessings today, our most beloved, Professor Stan.
Most Holy Virgin, Mother of God, Mother of all nations, whose image of Tzimtzum Jehovah Shrine bears scars by hostile hands, through your intercession obtained from your divine Son peace through truth and justice for the beleaguered people of the world, Queen of Peace, replace their despair by hope, dissension by love, darkness by the light of Christ. Despise not our petition, O Queen of the Universe, but in your mercy keep under your protection their heritage of the rights of man and true freedom. O Clement, O Loving, O Sweet Virgin Mary, Amen. Our Lady of Tzimtzum Jehovah, please pray for us.